Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of BBFOhio.com. And our study is in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, titled, Can Faith Save Him? This is Pastor Greg, and we're glad to have you join us for the study of God's Word in our authorized King James Bible. And if you have any questions or comments or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And donations can also be made at bbfohio.com by scrolling down to the PayPal donation button. Now we begin with a current events update and our study in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, titled, Can Faith Save Him? This is part 1
through our current events update.
1, 2, 3 headline reviews in the news. We begin with the reality of Marxism. A lot of the, I guess there's a few million people in America who say they support socialism, Marxism, and they just are clueless as to what it actually is. I'm reading a book right now, The Devil and Marx, and then there's one by Richard Wurmbrand. I think it was called Satan and Marx. He was a Satanist. And his Karl Marx's ideology was satanic. And he said so. And so those who are embracing it today, whether they know it or not, they're flat out embracing the idea that will eventually take over the world under the beast, the whole mark of the beast, Antichrist system. And here is what has happened for the last 150 years under communist regimes. China is continuing what we've talked about before, but it's making news again. Organ harvesting. China is famous for leading the world in technology and manufacturing and infamous for stealing to do so. How did they get in the lead? Communists can only win by being thieves. They cheat and they steal and they lie like their father the devil. And now a watchdog group is speaking out about the communist nation's horrific practice of harvesting organs from innocent victims. Back in 1984, they supposed to have implemented a law stopping involuntary organ transplants, but they continue to do so. Where did the organs come from? Christian leaders, Tibetans, Muslim believers, and Falun Gong practitioners lose, that is their typo, I just copied and pasted, lose their kidneys and other organs because they are considered enemies of the communist regime, which takes them from prisoners without permission and sells them for a high price. So they take them from prisoners who are there for legitimate prosecution for crimes, but they also take them from political and religious prisoners. There are born-again, Bible-believing Christians like you and I being arrested by the Chinese government and then having their organs harvested while they're still alive. And then some of them, they do harvest the organs. They've reported that they put them under, like knock them out, you know, unconscious, harvest all their organs so that they have live organs, and then they let them die while they're still under. So that's considered, you know, humane. Yeah. But that's not an anomaly. That is Marxism. That is communism. And you study the history of Russia and China and Cuba and all the other communist regimes, you'll find tens of millions, into the hundreds of millions of people murdered. And that's what's going to happen again when a Marxist Antichrist takes over the world. Meanwhile, the Sodomites continue their war to pervert kids. We talked about it a little Sunday, how PBS now has a gay couple of puppets or Muppets or whatever making appearances on Sesame Street. And this is going on down in California. There was a protest because a so-called transgender, which he calls himself a woman, but he's a he, And all the nuts out there call him a woman. And I'll never call any of these people by anything other than what they are. And they teach their tongues to speak lies. And if you look at Bruce Jenner and call him a her and call him Caitlin, you're a liar. And you should repent. And I'm telling everybody here and anybody listening, if you look at a man and call that man by a female name and call him a woman, you're a liar. And if you look at a woman and call her a male name, a male pronoun, you're a liar. And you need to repent. God is sick of this stuff going on, and Christians are going along with it. And out in California, this man claiming to be a woman exposed his genitals to a bunch of little kids. And the protest was countered by LGBTQ and their allies, who said that they were being transphobic. The protesters protesting a man flashing himself in front of a bunch of little kids. They were countered by the gay rights movement. The gay rights and allies. That includes some of your blood relatives, some of your neighbors, and even some people you may think are good Christian people are going along with this. And it's all a big, stinking, hellish lie. And all the preachers who aren't speaking up about this are punks. They're hirelings. And Christians ought to be speaking out about it. And it's just sickening. The churches that are going along with this now. I was just reading and mentioned this in our Proverb devotional recently. Southern Baptist Church down in Bentonville, Arkansas, had an Answers in Genesis speaker in. This church, of course, is Southern Baptist, but they call themselves Grace Point. They had Terry Mortensen in from Answers in Genesis, and when he said the truth, that in rejecting the Bible leads to this sodomite LGBT transgender movement we're seeing today, the pastor, the hireling, quote-unquote pastor, the hireling of that Grace Point church got up and apologized for Terry Mortensen not handling it more delicately. And they ripped down the videos of his message from their website. That's Southern Baptist, yeah. They're supposed to be the real conservatives in this country. You know what? If they're really that conservative, I don't care the fact that church has a couple thousand people in it, they'd kick it out of the convention. You're as a Southern Baptist, you're supposed to be a voluntary association. Well, that goes both ways. They can volunteer to be a part of it, but the convention can voluntarily kick them out. And they've done that many times in the past. So a protest outside the Wee Spa in Los Angeles over an incident where a transgender exposed their genitalia to girls in a female area is set to take place on Saturday, but the demonstration will also face a counter-protest by LGBT activists. And they've already had this happen. The big thing is supposed to happen Saturday, but they already had the people confronting these people and calling them transphobic. How would you feel your little girl goes to a spa where they're supposed to be doing, you know, giving them manicures and that kind of thing, and then you have some queer flashing them, and he's supposed to get by with it because he calls himself a woman, a trans woman. Hold. We'll come back. Staffers dismiss the woman's complaint, asserting that the man was merely expressing his sexual orientation. And I want to say it again. Every family member you know who calls themselves an ally is part of this. It's not just the flamers. It's the people who call themselves an ally. They, according to Romans 1:32, are just as worthy of death as the queers themselves. And finally, the NFL goes full-blown sodomite. Haven't watched a game in 3 years, and ain't going to start now. And you guys, a couple of you last year watched the NFL. I'm not picking on you. You do what you see fit. But I'm not going to watch that crap. This is their official Twitter page. If you love this game, you're welcome here. Football is for all. Football is for everyone. The NFL stands by the LGBTQ community today and every day. And then on the video they played, football is gay. Yeah, I wish that's what they meant. And to be clear, this is a screenshot of the official NFL Twitter account. I got it myself. I don't trust a lot of these things. People will make stuff up. I went out and got it. How far do Christians go with the NFL before deciding it's far enough? That's the question all Christians have to ask. I've already made my decision. There's my statement. There's my t-shirt. To hell with the NFL. And that, if that's not your attitude, go read Matthew 23 and repent. That's what I have to say. Luke 17:32 says, remember Lot's wife. You know what Lot's wife did? She fell in love with Sodom. And she couldn't give it up. And that's where American Christians are right now. We're seeing that not everybody's going to make the same decision at the same time. But man, it's getting down to crunch time. You're going to have to do something. James chapter 2. We're going to talk about this kind of stuff with Christians being hypocrites. Can faith save him? James 2, 14 through 18. And we left off talking about the law of liberty. There it is. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. We're actually going to come back to that, but didn't want to stop there. We want to get through some more of this, what James is telling us here, beginning of verse 14. And I'll have you read the even verses, so start in verse 14 with me. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Amen? So, I want to say before we get into this, I've read so many times, I've read through commentaries and listened to sermons on this, and boy, they really, most of the people I listen to, I just think totally botch this up. But we've been dealing with hypocrisy. So we're dealing with Christians here. We're not dealing with the unsaved. And some of the guys who are dispensationalists don't like what they read here, so then they try to turn it into something where James is talking to a bunch of unsaved people. And then some will say this only has application during the Great Tribulation. It does. But not only, and so I just say that to let you know you may have heard some teaching on this, and I just tell you, be careful. James is one of them. They seem to mess up big time. And just everything is about what the Bible says, not what someone interprets it to say. There's very little interpretation when it comes to the Bible. It's really just accepting what it says, and people don't like it, so then they interpret it. That's what happens. But now we see what genuine faith should look like. In verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Now, we should have works. Amen? But your works don't have anything to do with you being saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is well known. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But sadly, verse 10 gets separated. And right after it says it's not of works, lest any man should boast, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And over we see that. God over and over tries to say, you being saved has nothing to do with your works. It's not about you keeping the works of the law. It's not about you keeping the works of your church. It's not about you keeping the works that you think are important. None of that. Salvation is all about Jesus Christ. Amen. You are a sinner who deserves to go to hell. God came as a man in the person of Jesus Christ, dying for your sins. He shed his blood, fulfilling all those sacrifice shadows and types of the Old Testament. The Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And he died for the sins of the whole world, so the propitiation covers every sin ever committed, but that is only appropriated to those who believe on him for salvation. And so limited atonement is hogwash. Jesus died for all sin, but it's only appropriated to those who believe on him. And so then if you're saved, your sins are washed clean in a legal and mystical sense, I guess we could say. And then he was buried and he rose again after 3 days to demonstrate his power over sin, death, and hell. So that's how you're saved. Doesn't have anything to do with your works one bit. Now once you get that settled, then you can talk about this. So we settled the context. He's talking to believers, and this is the faith of the saved, not the faith to be saved that we're talking about in this text. It's the faith of the saved, not the faith to be saved. So saved is the catch word here. It says at the end of verse 14, can faith save him? So immediately, sadly, we automatically think he's talking about your soul being saved eternally. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people whose souls have already been saved. They're already Christians. So now that you're a Christian, let's look at your faith. Not your faith to be saved, that's settled. The moment you believe on Jesus Christ, you're saved, it's done. But you're just an infant. You've got this much growth of your faith. Just like a little baby when it's born. I've got a few of you in the room that I know I can check with and you'll confirm to me that your babies didn't come out talking and walking. They didn't come out and say, Mom, did you do my laundry? I'm naked. I need some clothes. That little baby came out and just went, you know. That's about as much communication. Why? Because they had no idea. They're looking around, what is this? This isn't where I've lived for the last 9 months or so. Where's that nice warm bath water? You know? And it takes months before they even start to really grasp the world they're in. It takes years before they stop pooping their pants. It takes years before they can communicate intelligently. And even then, you end up with teenagers and you're still wondering, when is the intelligence going to kick in? That's exactly the model that God gives you about your spiritual walk. And if you don't grow, it's just like a little baby. If that little baby doesn't grow and their parents don't kind of help them along, and eventually, you know, solid food, eventually potty training, eventually this and that. If you as a Christian don't grow, you remain an infant. And your faith will show it. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. Doesn't mean you're not saved in the first place. It just means you were born again and now you've stunted your growth. And that's what we're dealing with here. It's not always about your soul being saved when you see the word saved. I want to do some scripture with scripture just to establish that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. And verse 11 is one of the favorite Bible verses for I think this is Beth Moore's life verse. Wow. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But verse 12 says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, ladies, that's just God's word, so if you don't like it, get over it. God doesn't want you pastoring. He doesn't want you standing as a teacher over men, over the congregation, even the women. It's just the way it is. God also doesn't want me to get pregnant and have babies. There are certain things God says a woman is supposed to do that a man shouldn't, and certain things a man should do that a woman shouldn't. And that's all this is. And there's this rebellious streak in a lot of women these days. We talked about it Sunday morning. It says, verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. You don't like that? Take it up with God when you get there. Verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's just the reality. You don't like that, I guess take it up with Eve when you get there. Amen? Come on, ladies. Come on now. Come on.
I don't know. You said if you have a problem.
No, I was just saying what I just said, and I'm just making sure you all aren't mad at me.
We're not mad at you.
I'm just thinking that Adam said continued to took up the sin.
Yeah. It was just a picture of Jesus giving himself for his bride. Yeah. That doesn't mean all men are like Adam. But Jesus is the second Adam. See? That's where that picture comes in. So verse 15 says, go ahead and read it with me. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, do you believe that verse, that she'll be saved in childbearing? Do you?
Let her soul saved.
Right. See, you can believe that verse if you understand it in context. It's not talking about her soul being saved. Read it again. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Continue in the faith. She's already saved. She's in the faith. So what's that mean? You see, what I'm pointing out to you is you got to be careful to read what the Bible says. And in context, it's not talking about saving her soul because she's already in the faith. Right? So what's it mean being saved? Saved from what? What's the context? She's being saved from being deceived. Why does it say that? Because he's talking about a woman following a godly Christian lifestyle that the typical woman gets married and has children and lives her life. And then, of course, if she can't have children, she should still continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. But he's talking about the young women in the context of, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Verse 9, verse 10 says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So the point is that the context is about the woman not being deceived, and if she will follow God's will for women. Now, I have to say this, don't want to get too delicate of the subject, but there are some women who never get married for one reason or another, or never have children or for one reason or another. That doesn't mean you can't be saved, because it's not talking about your soul in this context. But it is saying that you follow God's will, and as you do, you'll be saved from being deceived. Amen? Anybody else? Anybody? Any questions before we move on? We're going to look at another one. If you're a lady, and I think all of you women here tonight are ladies, and you don't want to be deceived, then you do what God's called you to do and don't try to be a man. You be a woman. You look like a woman, act like a woman, think like a woman, live like a woman. And if you're in your teens or 20s or 30s and you're still thinking about getting married, having kids, you ought to do that unless there's some really good reason you don't. Because the exception proves the rule, right, Brother Frank? The exception proves the rule. So there are exceptions to that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, this is talking to Timothy. Now, I know that it's 1 Timothy, but a lot of what's in 1 and 2 Timothy applies to, you know, different people like we were just reading, applied to the women. But this is Paul's admonition directly toward Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. And Paul's writing and says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine.